Congregation may be seated. Let us bow together before the Lord, seeking the Lord's blessing upon the marriage ceremony and the union about to be performed in the Lord's house and in the Lord's presence. Let us pray. Our gracious God, our loving eternal Father, this afternoon we bow humbly, reverently in thy most holy presence in the Savior's lovely name. We do recognize, O God, that thou art truly mindful of man. And we can say how great thou art. Thou didst not spare thine own Son, but he was delivered up to the cross for us all. Our sin-bearer, our Redeemer, who shed his own blood for the remission, the forgiveness of our sin. And our Father, we know that thou art truly mindful of man also, in that he is not left alone. Thou didst make a helpmeet for man. And how we praise thee that marriage is thy will. It is thy purpose for mankind. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. We know that marriage is the very bedrock of an orderly society. And we bless thee, our Father, for the mutual society, comfort and help and support that husband and wife derive the one from the other in the marriage union. And so we know today that we are about the divine purpose and the divine will. And we do give thee thanks for Chance and Rachel. We praise thee for the day of their natural birth, when they were born into their respective families with great joy and gladness. We thank thee for their health and strength. And we do thank thee for that day when they had a spiritual birth, when they were born from above, born of the Holy Spirit into God's family divine. Lord, thou didst call them by their names and redeem them with thy precious blood. And we praise thee for thy providential ways, how thou hast brought them both together and to this happy occasion, when in thy presence and before this congregation here assembled, they will pledge their vows, their lives, the one to the other. And we pray for grace for them. We know that we cannot take one step unaided by thyself. And so we seek and entreat the blessing of the triune God upon this marriage ceremony. And we pray, Lord, as Rachel and Chance exchange their vows and give themselves the one to the other, we pray that above all, in their future married life together, they will give themselves afresh to thee, and say and determine with Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So pour out thy blessing. We would constrain thee, like the two in the way to Emmaus, to abide with us and bless the praise of this wedding ceremony and the reading and preaching of thy word. Bless the Reverend Hamilton as he brings forth the word of God. Bless the respective families too. We do pray that they will be united in Christ, all knowing the Savior, all being able to say, "It is well with my soul." Bless those who join with us on the World Wide Web. We pray that thou wilt draw near to us all and glorify thyself in all that is said and done this day. We ask it in the lovely and all precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dearly beloved, we are gathered together here in the sight of God, and in the face of this company, to join together this man and this woman in the sacred covenant of marriage. It is our privilege to hear their vows and to seek for them the help and blessing of the Lord. The Word of God sets forth marriage as a divine institution. It is a symbol of the union that exists between Christ and His church, and is a means of blessing to the individuals, of stability to society, and for the nurturing of children. The Lord ordained that in marriage the husband and wife should have fellowship one with another, that they twain should be one flesh, and that children who are the heritage of the Lord should be brought up in the atmosphere of a godly home with Christ at the heart of the home. Marriage is not to be entered into by any rashly, thoughtlessly, carelessly, or without due consideration of the ends for which the Lord has ordained it. Into this holy estate, these two persons here present come now to be joined. Wherefore, if anyone can show any just cause why they may not lawfully be joined together in marriage, let him now declare it, or else hereafter forever hold his peace. Also I require and charge you both, as you shall answer to God at the day of judgment, that if either of you know of any just cause why you may not lawfully be joined in marriage, you do now declare it. I do solemnly declare that I know not of any lawful impediment why I, Christopher Chance Hoffman, should not be joined in matrimony to Rachel Ann Hamilton. I do solemnly declare that I know not of any lawful impediment why I, Rachel Ann Hamilton, should not be joined in matrimony to Christopher Chance Hoffman. Who giveth this woman to be married to this man?
Congregation are now going to join together in the singing of hymn 22, the first hymn on our order of service today.
Thank you.
Will you have this woman to be your lawful wedded wife, to live together after God's holy ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Will you love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, performing the duties of a Christian husband to her, and forsaking all others, keep you only unto her as long as you both shall live? Will you have this man to be your lawful wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Will you love him, obey, honor, and keep him in sickness and in health, performing the duties of a Christian wife to him, and forsaking all others, keep you only unto him as long as you both shall live? Let us hear the word of God. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where the word charity, in our Authorized or King James Version, as it's often called, should be and could be replaced by the word love. And that's what it means. So we'll read it in that way. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And then some verses from that great chapter in Ephesians chapter 5, which speaks of marriage. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. These two little ones on the front may want to sit down on the step. Bayless knows her papa speaks rather lengthily at times. So if they want to sit down, these two can do that. The rest of them must remain standing. This is a great privilege for me today. It's not every day that you get to be the officiating minister for the marriage of a couple, but also to be marrying your own daughter. I had that privilege once before with the lady to my right, or to your left, 8 years ago almost. And here we are in a similar circumstance today. I count it a great privilege. It's a great joy to my own heart and to that of my wife that the Lord has brought Chance and Rachel to this point. Despite what I said a moment or two ago, I don't intend for this to be very, very lengthy. But you know, the wedding day goes in so quickly, doesn't it? I mean, it just goes in like a flash. You wait months and weeks and there's all the planning, and then you think, what just happened? The day is over. So we're going to savor the day a little bit more here in God's house. I was thinking much about this service and thinking about some of the love stories in Scripture. There's a beautiful love story found in the Old Testament book of Ruth. I happened to be preaching through that book recently in my own church in Pennsylvania on Sunday mornings, and I was thinking about the wedding of Chance and Rachel upcoming, and I thought that there were some parallels to be drawn from that lovely story that I should share with you all and with them today. And with every love story, you have two people. And the two people in the book of Ruth were a man and a woman. That's God's will. That's how it ought to be. And they were both different in many ways. These two, their names were Ruth and Boaz. They came from different lands, different countries. Boaz came from Israel, from Judah. Ruth came from Moab. Two very different lands, two different countries, two different cultures. And I thought about Chance and Rachel. I also thought about my wife and myself, because my wife is from the Midwest of the United States, and I'm obviously from New York. sorry, Northern Ireland. How certain couples met can be a fascinating story. Through the years of our marriage, I've been asked thousands of times, perhaps, how did you and your wife ever meet? A guy from Belfast, Northern Ireland, a woman from Iowa. Well, that's a story all of its own that we'll not go into today. But it's always a fascinating story to think about how people met in these kinds of circumstances. And in the case of these two individuals, Ruth and Boaz, they had not only been from different lands, but they'd been living two very different lives. They were not both following in the same way prior to when they met. If those two had met sometime before they did, it would not have been a love match, because they did not share the same interests and outlook. And with that in mind, I could say also that in this instance, Boaz and Ruth were serving different lords. And they both required the same grace of God and the very same salvation, having both been, like all other human beings, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The Bible tells us that. Boaz had, however it seems, been following the God of Israel for a good while. But only just recently, Ruth had come to trust in the Lord God of Israel. She said to her mother-in-law, she had been married before, she was a widow. She said to her, "Thy God shall be my God." So Ruth began to follow the true God of Israel. She, in the words of Ruth chapter 2 verse 12, came to rest under the wings of Almighty God. And thus two who were previously incompatible became fully compatible. And that reminded me of Chance and Rachel, because they will both tell you themselves that just a few short years ago, they would not have been interested in getting married to one another. Not because they wouldn't have thought each other was a nice looking person, but because they were not spiritually compatible. I remember God did a great work in Rachel's heart as a young child, but she was even then just as much a sinner as anyone else. Despite being raised in a Christian home, she needed the grace of God in salvation. She needed to repent of her sins and trust in the work of Christ at Calvary for her salvation. Chance, on the other hand, was much older when he was converted, but also he would tell you he was in need of the grace of God, and the Lord did a work in his heart and saved his soul. Thus, when Rachel and Chance met, they were on the same page spiritually. And I have to tell you, this was not their doing, but the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Rachel did not make herself a Christian any more than Chance made himself a Christian. This is the work of the Spirit. So there were the two people. But then in the book of Ruth, we read about the timely providence. How Ruth and Boaz met is really interesting. The Bible says in Ruth chapter 2 that her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. That's just an old English expression that we would say in a different way. She just so happened to find herself in that part of the field that belonged to Boaz. Boaz didn't own all the property in that part of the world. He was not a landowner of that sense, that he owned everything. He didn't. But she just happened to be, the Bible says, in that part of the field that belonged to him. And as we read the account, this event actually seemed to be a somewhat ordinary meeting. You might say it was a chance meeting. Two people brought together by human circumstances, an everyday occurrence, really. Both happened to be unattached at the time, and in the course of natural life, they met on a certain day. These two getting married today met when chance just so happened to start attending the same church as Rachel. It just so happened that she was there when he came to visit. And so a very ordinary meeting turned into something extraordinary. And some of you will know the story of the fire pit. Very romantic story it is. Rachel wanted to have a group over from church, and it would be nice to sit around a fire and sing some songs at Christmas time, except I don't have a fire. Chance said, I'll build your fire pit. So he built the fire pit, and you might say that another kind of fire was lit. It was a somewhat ordinary meeting. It was a sovereignly ordained meeting. Ruth and Boaz did not plan it that way, but it was very much in God's eternal plan and purpose. It just so happened that she was in that part of the field belonging to Boaz. But you see, things don't just so happen where God is concerned. Because the affairs of men, we believe that as good Calvinists in this church at least, they are overruled by the providence of a sovereign God. Ephesians 1 verse 11 speaks of one who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God is in charge. And what appear then to be mere coincidences are planned by God. So that there's nothing that just happens. There's a purpose. It's God's plan. So the timely providence is here, a somewhat ordinary meeting. But it was a sovereignly ordained meeting. And of course it was then a specially ordered meeting. That's to say, what God ordained in eternity, he brings to pass in time. That happened in the book of Ruth with the two main characters. And the second half of the book of Ruth, especially chapters 3 and 4, as well as the whole of Israelite history thereafter in the Old and New Testaments, show the real purpose of the union of Boaz and Ruth. Because they had a child, and the child born to them was in the line of David, and thus in the line of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the flesh. So this was all specially ordered of God to bring about the great plan of redemption. When Rachel and Chance met, it was something I firmly believe that God brought about, even though it looks like it involved only human decisions. For instance, Rachel decided to stay in South Carolina after college instead of coming back home to dreary old Pennsylvania, while Chance decided to visit this church many years later. I thought of the words of the psalmist, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." God's providence is a truly amazing thing. And in the book of Ruth, there's the tremendous picture. It's a very real human love story, beautiful story. Boaz and Ruth met, a relationship developed, they were eventually married. The Bible says in Ruth chapter 4, verse 13, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife." The marriage took place, just like today, before many witnesses. And in due course, they had a child, a son, Obed, later to be the grandfather of King David. But you know, the story of Ruth and Boaz is actually a spiritual picture as well. It's a beautiful illustration of the union between Christ and his church. And the New Testament does refer to the Lord Jesus as the bridegroom, and to his people, his church, as the bride, the Lamb's wife, Revelation chapter 19. And biblical teaching on the subject of marriage is, of course, important. We would not be here today if we didn't believe that. Marriage, the union of a man and woman, is ordained of God, not just of men. And someone said one time, marriage is an institution, but who wants to spend their life living in an institution? But actually, seriously, it is a divine institution. God invented marriage as a means of blessing, as we've already heard. Blessing to individuals and of stability to society. Marriage is honorable in all, Hebrews 13:4 tells us. And therefore I would say today, without any fear of contradiction, how dare anyone try to reinvent or redefine marriage? Because God has told us in His Word what marriage is. Genesis chapter 2. It speaks there of the Lord creating male and female, a man and a woman. And that those two would be joined together. And on the basis of what it says about Adam and Eve, the Lord says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Those words were repeated by the Lord Jesus. I've heard people, even ministers, say Jesus didn't really talk about those things. Really? If you read Matthew chapter 19, the Lord was asked a direct question about marriage. And the Lord Himself said that from the beginning, God made them male and female. And He used the same words found in Genesis chapter 2. "Therefore shall this cause, shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, they two shall be one flesh." Marriage is between one man and one woman. It's the only one flesh union ordered by God Himself. And so what is taking place here this afternoon is God's proper order for humankind. It's God's way. When people depart from God's way, it is both disastrous for them personally and for society as a whole. Without an exposition of Ephesians 5, you'll be glad to know, I would just say this, that there's vital teaching there on the topic of marriage and the respective roles of husband and wife. The foundation of a good marriage, I would say to Chance and Rachel, is love and respect. Husbands are to love their wives, and wives are to reverence or respect their husbands. There's a book that I often use in marriage counseling by that name, by a Dr. Eggerich. Very good book, very helpful. It's called Love and Respect. And I love the one chapter in there that talks about blue spectacles and pink spectacles. Now, I know that's really old-fashioned, you know, blue for a boy, pink for a girl. But I'm old-fashioned that way. I still believe in that. You know, little boys playing with little boys' toys and little girls playing with dolls. That's kind of old-fashioned. That's who I am. That's what I believe in. And I believe that God does too. But this chapter on blue spectacles and pink spectacles is really interesting because it really underlines the fact that men and women are very different. They are. Men and women are very different. They have different outlooks on things. I still don't understand my wife after 37 point however many months, years. And I know she doesn't understand me either. That's the way it is. We're different. We look at things very differently. My wife often says to me, if I've been at a wedding that she wasn't present at, "What was the dress like?" And I'll say, "I think it was white." That's it? That's all you noticed about the dress? I mean, that's the way men, well, most men, at least I am, like that. My wife's entirely different. And so here's the thing. Men and women looking at things differently, it would really help you husbands, and I'm not just speaking to Chance, but everybody here who qualifies under that heading of a husband, it'll really help you if you take off your blue spectacles once in a while and put the pink ones on. In other words, try to see things from your wife's perspective. I know it's tough, guys. Believe me, I know it's really difficult. But if you can just try to do that, I'll tell you, it's really going to help your relationship. And the same thing for the ladies. Just take those pink ones off and put the blue ones on once in a while and you'll see it'll really help your marriage. The Ephesian passage that I'm referring to, it sets a high standard for both parties, husband and wife, showing that marriage is actually a reflection and a picture, tremendous picture, of the loving union of Christ and His church. Paul actually says that in verse 32. "I speak concerning Christ and the church." It's a great mystery. But you know, the gospel is also set forth in that portion. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. He did that at Calvary's cross when He shed His precious blood for the redemption of His people. Talk about sacrificial love. He literally gave his life as a ransom on Calvary's cross to purchase his people to be his holy bride, as the hymn puts it. And this is an example to a husband as to how he is to love his wife. You think about Christ's love for his people. It's selfless. It's sacrificial. And so the husband is to love his wife. The church then is to be subject to Christ, honoring him, reverencing him. So the example to the wife is here. And as he loves her, she will want to honor him and show him respect. And I pray that Rachel and Chance would take the words of Ephesians chapter 5 to heart, and that God will bless that union that begins today. I was thinking that in John chapter 2, there's a lovely record of a wedding. The place called Cana in Galilee. And the Bible records that both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. I thought about the beckoning of Christ to the wedding. He was invited. Christ is not really welcome at all weddings. He's certainly not welcome at the reception. But he was welcome there. They wanted the presence of Christ at their wedding in Cana. That's a great thing when the Lord is invited to the marriage. That is the case today. Jesus is an invited guest. In fact, he's the most important guest. The blessing of Christ upon the wedding is also here. Because in John 2 verse 11, it records he manifested forth his glory. The first miracle Jesus ever performed in his lifetime was at a wedding. The wedding at Cana. Therefore, the presence of Christ made all the difference at that marriage. And so it is today. And it would be not only my prayer, but the prayer of Chance and Rachel, I know this, that the Lord would do miracles of grace even here at this wedding. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then today you can be, as Scripture puts it, joined to the Lord. Joined to Him by faith and trust in Him. Spiritually, you can become married to the Lord. And join that number who are described as the bride, the Lamb's wife. This is our desire for all who hear this message today. This is the heart's desire of Chance and Rachel. They've mentioned it to me more than once. That you that are guests today might not only share in the joy of their marriage union, but you might also share in the joy that they have come to possess in Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Amen. We're going to sing another congregational hymn at this time. And yes, the congregation will stand. I apologize for not giving that direction earlier. We will be singing the words, "Not I, but Christ, be honored, loved, exalted. Not I, but Christ, be seen, be known, be heard. Not I, but Christ, in every look and action. Not I, but Christ, in every thought and word." going to call upon the name of the Lord in prayer before Chance and Rachel exchange their vows. Let us all pray. O God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence at this wedding. We rejoice in Thy word as those that find great spoil. We thank Thee for the occasion that brings us all together. We thank Thee that just now Rachel and Chance are going to exchange vows before this assembled company and before God. We do pray the blessing of God upon them both. We pray the blessing of God upon their future life together. And we pray Thou wilt bless Chance's family and Rachel's family as we too are joined here today as a result of this loving union. We pray Thou wilt bless each person who is here to witness this great event and to join together in the happiness of all that takes place. And we do pray the blessing of God upon each life and upon each home. Be with us now, we pray. Continue with us in Jesus' name. Amen. I call upon these persons here present.
I call upon these persons here present.
To witness that I, Christopher Chance Huffman,
to witness that I, Christopher Chance Huffman,
do take you, Rachel Ann Hamilton,
do take you, Rachel Ann Hamilton,
to be my lawful wedded wife,
to be my lawful wedded wife,
for better, for worse,
for better, for worse,
for richer, for poorer,
for richer, for poorer,
in sickness and in health,
in sickness and in health,
to love and to cherish,
to love and cherish,
till death us do part,
till death us do part,
according to God's holy ordinance,
according to God's holy ordinance,
and thereto I plight thee my troth,
and thereto I plight thee.
I call upon these persons here present.
I call upon these persons here present.
To witness that I, Rachel Ann Hamilton.
To witness that I, Rachel Ann Hamilton.
Do take you, Christopher Chance Huffman.
To take you, Christopher Chance Huffman.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love, cherish, and to obey.
To love, cherish, and to obey.
Till death us do part.
Till death us do part.
According to God's holy ordinance.
According to God's holy ordinance.
And thereto I give thee my troth.
And thereto I give thee my troth.
I give you this ring.
I give you this ring.
As a token and memorial.
As a token and memorial.
That I have taken you.
That I have taken you.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
Third finger on the left hand. I give you this ring.
I give you this ring.
As a token and memorial.
As a token and memorial.
That I have taken you.
That I have taken you.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
Those whom God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. For as much as Chance and Rachel have covenanted together in holy wedlock before God, and in the presence of this company, I now declare them to be husband and wife in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You may kiss your bride. As we proceed to the signing of the register, there will be special music provided by the Verdon Family Ensemble. And we trust that the Lord will bless that to all of our hearts. I leave you with the words of the Aaronic blessing, words that we've just heard sung. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Chance Huffman.